If you dine out, you may have noticed the way things are shifting in terms of restaurant trends. Noisier dining rooms, smaller portions, and desserts almost as expensive as the entrees. And whatever happened to salad bars anyway? On today's Central Standard, we'll discuss modern restaurant trends, from creative cocktails to coconut milk lattes, and the way those innovations are changing the way we eat in all kinds of venues, from fast food to high-end bistros. If you've seen changes in the hospitality industry that you like or don't like, you can join our conversation by sharing your observations on everything from unisex bathrooms to ordering on a tabletop computer. The restaurant trends of the millennium have arrived, and not everyone is going to find the changes so appetizing. But first, the news. And welcome to Central Standard Friday. I'm going to take you on a brief, and I mean brief, trip down memory lane. Do you remember salad bars? Salmon salads, s'mores desserts, happy hour buffets. I actually do miss those. Singing waiters and waitresses. In restaurants, trends come and they go. Some we're glad to see go. Some we kind of miss. In the second half of Central Standard Friday's Restaurant Critics Edition, we are going to be talking about restaurant trends, the trends that we see coming right now, the trends that have come and gone, and the trends that we are ready to have come back. I'm Charles Ferruzza with The Pitch, and I'm joined today by, well, why don't you introduce yourself, starting with Miss Gloria there?
Miss Gloria Gale, 435.
I am.
Oh, that should, I should, I have to say this. It is the magazine and not the highway. Yes.
That's right.
Yeah, okay. I'm Chris Pasica and I write for the Restaurant Guide of Kansas City.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's very fun. We have a fun new article this month on Steak 101, which made me learn a lot.
Really? Yeah. Maybe I better read it. You know,
there's more to it than
picking up a fork.
Yeah. Yeah. And a knife sometimes.
Okay. And the lovely Emily.
I am Emily Ferris from Feed Me KC and the Feed Me KC podcast, all of which you can find at feedmekc.com. And before I forget, I want to give a little mention of an event. I'm on the host committee for the Believers Ball.
It sounds so religious.
It is not real. I am very not religious, and this is not religious. It's for Agenda B, which is a local nonprofit that connects people with nonprofits that need their help. So this is their annual fundraiser. It's at the downtown airport, and there'll be all kinds of great food and specialty cocktail bars and even champagne flights over the city.
Wow.
So you can drink champagne while flying in a private plane
Neat.
Over the city at night.
How can you find out more about that event?
You can go to thebelieversball.org, but if you go to feedmekc.com right now, there's a discount code for regular and VIP tickets.
Very good. The Believer's Ball. I'm ready to believe. Yeah.
I believe.
As always on the Restaurant Critic Show on Central Standard Friday, we start the show by talking not about our theme for the day, which today's theme will be trends, but on new places we've all been to or heard about or want to go to. And why don't we start with Gloria Gale? Where have you been?
I've been to, I went to Novel. Finally. And I had a reservation at 6 o'clock and it was packed. And it's packed in there because it's such a tiny place.
It's a very, very tiny restaurant.
And that's putting it
politely. If you have an issue with claustrophobia
It's a house.
It's not a house. It's a dollhouse.
It's a dollhouse, right?
But it's so good.
It's so good.
Well, does anyone have the address for Novel for people who have not been there yet? It's at 17th and Summit.
Basically, on the west side. And,
it's at 815 West
17th. Is it Ryan Brazil? Mm-hmm. Is that his name? Yeah,
he's the chef and the owner.
Right, and he is a Johnson County Community College grad, and he worked in New York and all kinds of places, Momofuku, and he now has his mastering his own place in that tiny little kitchen. The kitchen's bigger than the living room. I don't know.
The biggest room in the place. Yeah.
And it probably feels big to him because he did come from New York, and Momofuku is small, and all of those places are small. So this is probably vast to him.
He has a beautiful big kitchen. The dining room downstairs, there is a dining room downstairs. It's very, very tiny.
And the dining room upstairs is not much bigger. And,
yeah.
You know, I like that restaurant a lot. I the intimacy was a little much for me.
Yeah,
I mean,
you
hear every conversation going around.
I know, but that's true. However, the food is quite unique, I think. It's very well done. And Fevre bread. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Are they still doing that sort of formal bread
Formal
service?
Bread with the tongs and the whole bit.
I think it's a little much.
It is, but that's all right. The food is quite good. It's very inventive. And I had the chicken brick, which was the closest thing I thought to regular food, but it wasn't regular food. I mean, it is, but it isn't. It's done very well. And then also I went to 715
In
Lawrence on Massachusetts, and it was the Sunday brunch, and you could order off the menu, and it was so crowded, you don't need to go anywhere all day because you will wait for your food. It was packed.
Do you
Great
have a long
place.
Wait for food?
Once yes.
Once you sit
yes.
down and order?
Yeah.
Really?
You do. Mm-hmm. And it's really loud because there's nothing soft in the whole place. It's open, exposed brick, stone wall. Floor, wood floor, you know, the whole bit. So it's very loud, but it's fun.
I think at some point in the future on this show, we are going to have to do a show about noisy restaurants because I had dinner last night at a favorite restaurant of mine, El Patron on Southwest.
Uh-huh.
It was so noisy in
really?
There. I think I was with two friends of mine, and really the only way we really could have communicated is if we had a pad and sent each other notes.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
it was so noisy.
Yeah.
And some people really like that.
Yeah, because they don't want to talk.
Oh, is that the reason?
Okay. Yeah, mm-hmm. They don't like each other. They don't want to talk. They just want to eat and be seen, I guess.
I thought that was just married couples that did that. Okay.
And then the third one, real briefly, is Webster House. I went for lunch at 1644 Wyandotte. And I think throughout the month of August, they had $10 lunches. Now, whether or not they continue that or not, but that's a great deal. And it was crowded at lunch, so that was fun.
You never go to any place that isn't crowded.
That's right.
Yeah, that's your goal.
You
yeah.
bring your crowd with
that's
you.
That's right. My following.
Chris Pasica, where have you been?
Well, I've hardly been in town this month, but before I get started, I do want to mention something called The Gardens at Sunset, which is on September 15th, and La Dame d'Escoffier is putting that on along with a local food group, and it's always...
Why don't you explain what Les Dames d'Escoffier is?
Oh, Les Dames d'Escoffier is a women in the culinary field who do philanthropic work. And so it's everyone from restaurant owners to food writers with a whole mix of people in between. So it's a very
Do you
very
need to be
cool
a dame to belong?
Yes, you do indeed. Okay. And you need to have at least 3 years in the food industry before, and it's a by invitation group, actually.
All right.
But we're always looking for new members, and it's a very fun group of women.
You
very
just need
fun.
To be a dame.
You need to be a dame.
Yes, all right. I want to remind you, you are listening to the Restaurant Critics Panel on Central Standard Friday on KCUR. Our telephone number, if you'd like to join the conversation and tell us about new places that you have been to and that you like or did not like. 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or send us an email to centralstandard@kcur.org. Or you can send us a tweet.
@KCURCST.
All right. Where else have you been?
I made it to Leavenworth recently. And downtown Leavenworth is actually sort of having a bit of a resurgence, which is nice to see. And this place is not new, but it's the first time I've eaten there. And they've actually been around for 18 years, and it's called Sissa's Sweets, and it's at 307 Cherokee. And some people know Sissa's Sweets for their fabulous bakery goods.
Sissa's Sweets?
Sissa's Sweets.
Where is it again?
307 Cherokee.
In Leavenworth?
In Leavenworth.
Okay.
And really, really good sandwiches and meals, and they make their cookies from scratch every day. They have good ice cream, and, you know, if you're just looking for a sandwich or a wrap and a salad, and then a cookie comes with it automatically.
Well,
so,
let's hear it for that.
Yeah, and then you get to choose your cookie. It's just kind of fun. As if that weren't enough, we ended our day. We went to the Carousel Museum, too. It was a fun day. I mean, in Leavenworth.
In Leavenworth?
In Leavenworth, yeah. It was very
fun. It's a fun museum.
Yeah, it's a great museum, I think, for its size, and we rode on the merry-go-round, and it was... It's a fast merry-go-round. It's one of the three largest, fastest merry-go-rounds in the country. Wow. Anyway, also went to the Corner Pharmacy, which is at the corner. Which is at the corner. I'm sorry, I don't have that address. But it's right in the middle of downtown, and they make their own sodas, and they have an old-fashioned soda bar.
It's a great old-fashioned soda fountain.
Old-fashioned place.
You know, I want to do a shout-out that for people younger than us, actually, I am really too young to remember when every drugstore had a soda fountain. Yeah. Apparently, they did once. For people who would like to know what a drugstore soda fountain was like, this is a classic.
Right. It is a classic. And it's really, really good and very fun to go to.
And it's at 429 Delaware Street in Leavenworth. And we will be putting all of these restaurants we mentioned with the address online at kcr.org after the show.
Thank you. And the third place I'd like to mention is I finally got to the Tavern at Mission Farms, which is at 10681 Mission Road. And we had a very fun waiter, which helped the evening. I liked the atmosphere in there. I thought the food was quite good. But the one thing that we all really loved was the cheddar and Dewey hash. And that was really good.
Really?
Really, really good, yeah. All right. I mean, I had a hamburger. It was a locale night. But it was fun.
And they're crowded. They're usually crowded.
Yeah, they're usually quite crowded. Mm-hmm. And the place has got a good vibe. Mm-hmm. One more place, Frida's, which is also not new, but I've been
there. Well, it's a newer location.
Newer
location, yeah.
7200 West 121st. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to mention this, and I feel compelled. Frida's has what they call their original margarita, which is not on the menu.
But leave it to you to find it. Yeah.
We did find it. It's just tequila triple sec and fresh squeezed lime juice. It's really, really good.
Good.
And having just come back from Mexico and sampled many margaritas on the way, I will tell you that Frida's ranks right up there.
And I can't let anyone mention Frida's without saying they have the best pork tacos in the city.
Oh, that's what
there's
very,
magic sauce.
Very good.
Magic sauce in those pork tacos.
Yes.
All right. And Emily, where have you been?
Well, I went to, as you know, Charles, I went to Rye for brunch in Mission Farms, and that's 10551 Mission Road. And that's Colby Gerald's second place, Colby and Megan's second place. And it's more of a
country style
restaurant. And I feel like I was the last person in Kansas City to make it to Rye. Love the decor, love the space. All the food was really great. They brought out they've donuts and fritters before breakfast, which, I mean, if you're going to eat donuts and fritters, that's the time. And I don't even like peaches, but they had these delicious fresh peach fritters. They're so good.
Listen, anything fried is delicious.
I know, right? Yeah. It's true. Yeah, anything.
Did you have a cinnamon roll there?
I didn't because we had the donuts, and I think they had cinnamon sprinkled on them.
Yeah, they did.
Sugar and cinnamon.
Yeah.
They were like donut. They were called donuts, but they were donut holes, and they were in cinnamon and sugar.
Did you order off the menu?
I did. I got the burnt in hash, which was really good, but I will say it was a little too refined for me. I expected it to be a little more down home with bigger chunks of potatoes and meat and kind of sloppier. And
this
it was very
is in
refined.
Leawood, dear.
It is in Leawood, and Colby did just win the James Beard, and it was very good. but I think next time I get burnt in hash, I'm probably going to go to RJ's Barbecue Shack. Is that a mission?
Yep.
That is the best burn-in hash I've ever had in my life.
It's very rustic in there.
And I like, it's not so refined. My sister got the shrimp and grits, which I wish I would have gotten.
Those are good.
And you know, the shrimp and grits at the bar at Blue Stem are amazing. These have pulled pork on them as well. I don't think the Blue Stem shrimp and grits do. So I will be getting that next time. It was delightful. It had cheddar and scallions and pulled pork. And I felt like the prices were reasonable. And they were very good about keeping my coffee cup full.
Is that like from 10 to 2 or something?
Yes. Yeah. Roughly. Yeah.
Thereabouts.
I will look that up to be sure.
I think they start at 11. Actually.
Oh. On Sundays?
Yeah.
But we made a reservation. There were six of us. And it seemed pretty packed, so I would recommend.
Yeah, I think reservations are probably.
If you're going for brunch.
Yeah.
But it was really good, and I will definitely go back next time I'm out toward Leawood. But I would say I'd like some bigger chunks of potatoes. then I also went to Yard House out at the Legends.
Which has all of those beers on tap, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Which I did not drink. I had a margarita that they called their skinny margarita, and I made sure it wasn't a skinny girl, and it wasn't. They just used – I don't endorse that but they use fresh, I think something kind of fresh. And I had the grilled Korean pork belly tacos, which were really good, and they came with beans and fried rice. My best way to describe it is kind of like a giant Chili's, and I don't even mean that in a bad way.
Okay,
if that makes sense.
I've always kind of liked the food they have there.
I think the Yard House has some of the best food in the in that West Village area.
Yeah,
I haven't gone to any of the other places. I don't. We were going to Nebraska Furniture Mart,
of course,
but it kind of felt like Disneyland out there. But the food was good. I was pretty impressed with it. So.
All right. We are taking your phone calls at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. We already have a call. And Mike in South Kansas City, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
And you have a question.
Listen, I'm not doing any advertising, and this is just a valid question. Does anybody ever go to the Greek festival at the 120th in Warnell? That's this weekend.
Is that the the Annunciation Church? I can never remember the name of the church, but
I think that's correct. Anyway, does anybody does any of your staff ever go to these festive occasions or ethnic festivals or whatever, and want to recommend especially that you don't miss a certain one or something like that?
That's an excellent question, Mike, and let's tackle that. I want to say that I have been to that Greek festival several times, and I like it a lot for a couple of reasons. One is that Kansas City does not have a plethora of Greek restaurants. It really doesn't. And for people who are craving homemade, because it's made by the parishioners, Greek food, it's a fun and a festival, especially when the weather's kind of nice.
Yeah, the one on 95th and...
At St. Dionysus?
Yes, that one I've been to, and people have a blast. Yeah. The food is delicious. You get in a line. It takes a while to go. It's not expensive at all. The parishioners, like you said, make it, so it's definitely homemade. And it's good, and they dance till forever.
Yeah.
Oopa.
The one that's this weekend at the Annunciation Church on the Missouri side, it has been a Kansas City tradition for many, many years,
and
the food's real good.
And the other Greek festival that's really fun is out at 135th and Quivira or Flum. Do you guys remember? And
maybe that is the new Annunciation Church. It's maybe moved there.
It's really, and you can take frozen stuff home with you, which is just wonderful.
Leave it to you to find the takeout.
The interesting thing is, you said there's not a plethora of Greek restaurants, but the Greek community really does support this.
Oh, absolutely.
All of them. I mean, they are there in full force, and they're proud of it, and they get in costume and dance. I mean, it's a real deal.
And it is happening this weekend. It's the 52nd Annual Greek Festival, September 6th, 7th, and 8th. At 120th and 1.
That one is especially well organized.
Right,
the last
right.
time I went to it, they had it down like clockwork, which as they should.
And just so people know, if you are planning to go this weekend, at least at one point during the festivities, Gloria Gaynor, our very own Gloria Gaynor, will be there dressed as Melina McCoury. So
you're more likely to find me at Kosher Fest, which isn't this year. No, it's not this year. But that's another one where there's a lot of hoopla.
I'm looking at the menu for this weekend's festival, and it does look really good. And they have some higher-priced, bigger plates, and then some a la carte items that are $1, $2, $3.
Very good. We have an email. Someone sent us an email to centralstandard@kcr.org. Kay from Greenwood asks, I'm dying to know who is going to be able to answer this. Where is the best beef chow mein in Kansas City? Now, beef chow mein is a dish I haven't ordered since I was 7 years old. And I think maybe
you wouldn't know that because you weren't around.
I wasn't
I don't think.
But where is the best beef chow mein in Kansas City? I don't order beef chow mein. I don't order any chow mein.
I don't know if I've ever seen it on a menu.
I know
in
that's
Kansas
one
City.
Of those past trends.
I'll tell you that it is an old fashioned Chinese American dish, and probably the best place to find it would be one of, the old-fashioned Chinese restaurants like Prince's Garden.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
somebody's going to have to call on that.
Right.
You know, so, beef, best beef. Okay. Well, and we are taking your questions. We will try to answer them more effectively. Your emails can go to centralstandard@kcur.org or your tweets to
@KCURCST.
although that reminds me that my favorite Chinese restaurant in Kansas City, can I put a shout out?
Sure.
The ABC Cafe in
Overland
Park.
Right, I know you like that.
Although I don't think they have beef chow mein there. Mm-mm. No, I would say not.
And why is it not on the menus? I'm just curious.
You know, a lot of these Chinese American dishes like egg foo young and oh gosh, what's the other classic one that I'm not remembering? They fell out of favor. Speaking of trends, they fell out of favor.
Mm-hmm. Like egg drop soup? Well, is that still around?
Yeah, that is still around. Yeah.
Some of these aren't actually real Chinese dishes.
No, that's what I call them Chinese American.
They're made
for Chinese. Cashew chicken.
Right.
Right.
Or crab rangoon. You know,
yes,
it's a totally
right.
American innovation. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
It doesn't even have crab in it.
Usually.
Some do.
Yeah.
I don't know who, but we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But that's the thing about ABC Cafe is it is authentic Chinese food.
Very authentic and very inexpensive and very delicious. 816-235-2888. We are taking your phone calls if you have questions. In the second half of the show, coming up, we are going to be talking about changing trends in restaurants from table settings to what's actually being served at the table. Mm-hmm. So that'll be, I think, a lively discussion.
Oh, yeah.
I have a food question for you, Charles.
Bring it on.
So you just had a birthday. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
And you hate cupcakes. You abhor cupcakes.
I really don't like cupcakes because I like cake, and I think that cupcakes are really about the ice frosting and not about the cake. So, and I'm not a big frosting fan.
So I want to make it up to you and get you a sweet treat, but what should I get you and where should I get it?
Oh, gosh, that's a really good question. I am a big fan of anything that you can get at the new Matuka Bakery. Which we had a caller call in last week, or I think sent an email to us that Matuka was closed. It's on 39th Street. It is not closed. It's very much open. And although it might be closed today for Rosh Hashanah, I don't know, because the owner, Ellen Yume, is observant, and because of the Sabbath, she does close on Saturdays.
Oh, okay.
So which has thrown some people off.
Uh-huh.
Oh, we have a... Nancy from Kansas City, Missouri, called in to say the ABC Cafe does have chow mein and it's awesome.
Oh, there we go.
So, yes.
So perhaps it is authentic.
As Dear Abby used to say, hit me with a wet noodle. So, yes. All right.
I would like someone who really knows Chinese food to let us know then kind of the origins of chow mein and if it really is an authentic Chinese dish.
Yes. Or egg foo young, for that matter. Yes, Matuka Cafe, Matuka Bakery on 39th Street is my new
favorite.
That's
not the beignet place.
No,
that's further
So do you have
west.
A favorite baked good there or anything from Matuka?
Everything is delicious there.
So buy him one of everything.
Yes.
Okay.
I might also say that only I would have found this out, that on Tuesday afternoons, I don't know what time on Tuesday, but the baked goods that she has made over the weekend that aren't, you know, totally new – all go on half price.
Oh.
And they're still fresh and they're still delicious. Sure. But, you know, you haven't lived till you have had a half price key lime tart.
Oh.
It's just a bargain that's just
it just tastes
worth sharing. Yes.
Maybe I need to make you a half price bread pudding.
Let's go to Teresa in Kansas City, Missouri. Teresa. Teresa? Oh. Did we lose Teresa? All right. Teresa, you have to call back at 816-235-2888.
You know those chocolate croissants at Exwa?
Oui.
They are just, I can't avoid them. They just come at me.
Really, do they?
Oh, yeah. And they're usually warm in the morning when I stop and get coffee.
Oh.
It's a problem.
That would be a dangerous place for me to
stop
and get coffee.
It is.
I love that place. They have a great brunch as well.
Okay, I think we've got Teresa back. Teresa, are you with us?
Hey, Charles. It's your friend Teresa. How are you?
Fine, Teresa. What's up with you?
I've got a question for you.
All right.
You were in...
Uh-oh.
You know...
She drove under a bridge.
She drove somewhere.
She
drove
off the road.
I hope she's still with us somewhere.
Aw. Poor Teresa.
She got sidetracked by chocolate croissants.
That's it.
Well,
they are as big as speed bumps.
They are. On that note, I think we are going to take a short break. But when we return, we'll talk about changing tastes in the restaurant business, both in food served and what's served. Central Standard returns in a moment. And welcome back to Central Standard. I'm Charles Ferruza, joined by my fellow food critics, Emily Ferris, Christine Basica, and Gloria Gale. Today we're exploring changing trends in restaurants. And, you know, because I started in the restaurant business as a teenager and now I'm ancient, I've seen many, many trends come and go. One trend that I was happy to see go, finally, was the salad bar. Mm-hmm. And now I've reached the age where I'm ready for it to come back.
Go to Ruby Tuesdays.
Yeah. You know, Ruby Tuesday actually has a pretty good salad
bar.
Right.
Have a good salad
it really bar. Reminds me of a 1970s salad bar, too. But we want to know, what have you noticed lately about trends? And do you think these changes are good or a distraction from good dining? You could join us at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or tweet us at KCURCST. And a reminder that today you can find all of the restaurants mentioned on Central Standard Friday at the Central Standard Friday page of KCUR.org. So let's start with you, Gloria. What trends have you noticed that have come down the pike? Any that you are ready to see go away?
Well, no, not necessarily. I think that eggs are popping up on salads and just about everything. You know, like a poached egg that oozes.
Mm-hmm.
That's and melted cheese sandwiches. I mean, even though the cheese sandwich has been around forever,
it's making grilled.
Yeah. I mean, a grilled cheese sandwich. Pork belly. I see it everywhere.
You know what? I keep waiting for pork belly creme brulee. I know it's coming.
First,
and
it was bacon, and then now it's materialized into the pork belly.
I'm ready
and
for the bacon trend to go away too. Myself.
Yeah, duck fat fries. Gastro pubs, ramen bars, pop-ups, seafood awareness. A lot of people are seafood aware.
Why don't you explain that a little bit?
There's a lot of overfishing that is being done. And because of that, obviously, species are going by the wayside. And so there's actually, you can go online and find out which fish are not overfished and that are better, not necessarily for you, but that you can eat with a conscience that's clear. Swordfish is one of those that's overfished. There's a lot of, and here in the Midwest, you know, it's especially important because I think we're not as keen on what is available and what isn't available that isn't overfished. Mm-hmm. So that's my little diatribe.
I think that
today.
Whole Foods has stopped carrying a lot of the overfished.
Yeah.
So if you, whatever is available at Whole Foods is should be safe to order.
Yeah. And you can carry a little thing in your wallet. There's something that's
or
made.
Or your phone.
Yeah. Or your phone that says, hey, don't eat
this.
It. Mm-hmm.
By the way, apropos of nothing we're talking about right now, but Ethan, one of our listeners, writes in an email, chow mein is actually an authentic Chinese dish. The literal translation is fried noodle. It is very popular in Hong Kong, especially after the bars close. You know,
oh.
So listen, from now on, it's chow mein instead of White Castles.
Exactly.
For everybody.
Exactly.
All right. What food trends have you seen? Speaking of sliders, that's another one.
Oh, yeah. Sliders, yeah.
I think they're on their way out.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't think so much about what I've particularly seen, but I did a little bit of research in terms of what's hot everywhere.
Okay.
Sort
uh-huh.
of national trends and that sort of thing. And one of the words that I'm pretty tired of myself, though, is local. I remember when local, you didn't hear that at all.
Huh.
And now every single restaurant says they buy local. And
you don't think that's necessarily a good thing?
Well, one, the definition of local is pretty interesting, depending on who you're talking to.
Are you saying that, you know, when a menu says we buy local celery, that means it could come from Iowa?
Yeah, really? But the other thing that's interesting is, I'm sorry, in January in Kansas and Missouri, what local foods are there?
Potatoes. Kale.
Okay,
beets.
We got two.
Anything grown in a hoop house?
Well, yeah.
That's true.
But
cinnamon rolls are always local. No matter what time of
the
day.
Pigs, cows, milk.
Yeah. I mean, and I think back to when nobody was touting that. I can think of one restaurant in town that was touting local. And now you hear it.
What was that one restaurant?
It was the Blue
Moose.
Blue Bird Cafe.
All right.
You know, and I sort of like hearing the farms sometimes. But that is a huge national trend, and everybody says that they mostly buy local, And I just think
and, but I want to say, in defense of some restaurants, for example, Room 39, they when they say they buy local produce and local cheeses and local, they mean it. They
right.
really do.
Westside Local is growing most of their own produce up behind the restaurant.
You know, which, that's interesting.
Which is one thing. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, but I see a lot of use of that word and a lot of hype. And I wish they would just maybe go to fresh.
Oh, no, I prefer, I love,
prefer local?
I want to know, yeah.
Mm. Who's the chef at Story?
Carl Thorne Thompson.
I see him on Saturday mornings at the Overland Park Market. It warms my mm-hmm. heart. Mm-hmm. He's buying big bats of lettuce.
Yeah. I love the local, if you want to call it a trend, I think it's more awareness and people just caring more about where their food comes from, and that means the diners and the chefs.
Are aware.
I don't disagree with any of that. I'm just tired of the word.
Okay.
I'll tell you something. I'm still looking for local chow mein. If I can find it. Especially
somebody's
after,
gonna
after,
cook it
especially
up
after
you.
The bars close.
Right.
The telephone number here is 816-235-2888. 816-235-2888. We have Mike. Mike and Lawrence.
Hi.
Hi, Mike.
Thanks for taking my call. I was also going to just say about Chinese food. One of the trends I've noticed over the last few years here in Lawrence, and I think probably elsewhere, is that with Chinese restaurants, even though they have the typical Chinese-American restaurant menu, they also have a Chinese menu. And in the last few years, they're beginning to put it into English translation. And if you ask for it, you can order off of it and get really authentic food. Here in Lawrence, my favorite is Oriental Bistro, which is on 23rd Street, and they've got this phenomenal Chinese menu that's just sort of a type sheet that I think they Xerox, and if you ask, they give it to you, and it's got all the English translations, and they change it every few months, and it's for people like me who don't speak Chinese, it's a chance to get some really interesting dishes that otherwise would just go to the folks who can.
That's cool. Yeah.
Very good. That's all right.
Nice. You know, Peking has one of those as well on Westport.
Do they really?
Okay. Mill Street, I guess, yeah.
Bowling's does, too. I think they'll do that.
That's a great call, Mike. Thank you. Chip from Shawnee writes, I'm assuming he means pine and bamboo in Shawnee. Pine and Bamboo is the only Chinese restaurant I know that has a fully Chinese language menu, no English at all. I don't think Pine and Bamboo is the only restaurant in the metro that has a...
Did he say in Shawnee? No, he said in the metro.
I think he meant in the metro. And... although Pine and Bamboo is a great classic Johnson County Chinese restaurant, you know, it used to be that those dishes were only on the Chinese language menu because there was the belief that the Americanized diners would not order them, mm-hmm. That they were too weird. And I think that is a trend that's changing. People are a lot more adventurous.
Mm-hmm. And I think that trend also has sort of expanded. We started with Chinese and now... we're including Thai, and mm-hmm. you know, our countries sort of expand, and like mm-hmm. people ate Mexican food, but now we're more into South American,
definitely.
You know, Argentinian, and so forth. So it's like we take these first steps, and then we move out.
Well, and Emily is a big fan of Korean food,
yes.
as am I, and I was at Soban over the weekend, and Soban has... what we the familiar Korean dishes like bulgogi and things like that. But, you know, if you're really adventurous, you could really open your palate up to some interesting, mm-hmm. interesting dishes mm-hmm. there.
And they'll make things, I don't want to talk for them, but I think they'll do a little bit off the menu or a little more regional if you ask.
Really?
If you know what you're, I think. Because Kyle, my husband who lived in Korea, had asked for, I'm going to mispronounce it, Ong Jong Ding Jok, some dish that he had in the region where he lived, and they make it for him. They say it takes 20 or 30 minutes, but we'll make it for you.
Very good. So. Let's go to Martha. Martha in Kansas City, Missouri.
Hi. I just wanted to know if anybody else has noticed the same trend that I have with coffee. I have found that it's harder to get a good cup of coffee after a meal at restaurants.
Now, see, I would think it would be totally the other way around, that we have become so coffee conscious and so many restaurants are having their own blends made that it would be harder not to find a good cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
You would think that, but and there are some restaurants where they are definitely making, you know, definitely emphasizing the quality of the coffee. And I really appreciate that. But places where even in the past, I don't really want to name any in particular, I find that I think it looks to me like it may be a place where they're cutting costs, where you have a good meal, the food's decent, and you order a cup of coffee, and it's just not what you expect. It's not how you'd want to end a reasonable meal. And my experience is, because I am a big coffee drinker and I like good coffee, has been that that's more of a problem in general, not less than a problem. So maybe I'm the oddity, but I was just curious to know if others had experienced that.
I think that's a really interesting question, because I have noticed the reverse. And I was a waiter for years and years and years, and almost every restaurant where I worked, you know, ordered the cheapest, no names mentioned, corporate kind of coffee programs. And, you know, the kind of coffee that you make a pot and about 5 minutes later it is, you know, boric acid. Mm-hmm. I have noticed that coffee tends to be better and better now than I used to remember.
Yeah, I've had the same experience as you, Charles. And coffee in general is such a, I mean, again, I hate to call it a trend, but you know, almost every city now has multiple local coffee roasters that have coffee bars, and they're doing pour overs or French press only. And a lot of restaurants, you know, you order coffee and you get an individual French press or a French
you
press
get a
for
choice,
the table,
right.
Or you get a pour over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, I live in Brookside, and there's, you know, some restaurants even right in the neighborhood where you go for a brunch or you know, or something like that, and the coffee is still not very good, and maybe it used to be better. And my thought was, perhaps, you know, as part of the trying to be more cost, you know, efficient, as the economy was, you know, it was doing worse, but now it's doing better, and so I would expect to see some of those restaurants up their coffee. So,
well,
anyway,
I think
if you
complain to the manager and say, you know, I really like this restaurant, and I'd come here more often if your coffee wasn't so horrible, and I've been known to do that, that you might be surprised by the results of that.
Yeah,
the result. Yeah, that's a good suggestion.
That's a pretty easy upgrade for a restaurant to make. Right.
And you know, I mean, one of the reasons I have found that more and more restaurants are providing more and more good coffee is that they can upcharge for it.
Yeah,
people are willing to pay for good coffee.
That's right.
All right. Thank you. Kelly writes in an email, the trend, I love this, the trend I've noticed is pretzels. Pretzel buns, pretzel everything.
Right.
Everything except what I really want, which is a pretzel.
Let's go. She needs to go to Grand Street and get their pretzel appetizer.
Yes.
Is it good?
Oh, my gosh. It's wonderful.
It is wonderful.
Cheese and apples and pretzels. Mm-hmm. Cheese sauce.
Pretzel bread.
You don't need to order anything else.
No, you.
Except coffee.
The complimentary. Yeah, yes. There's complimentary pretzel bread at Cooper's Hawk. Too.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Murray in Kansas City, Kansas. Murray, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Good morning. What do you want to tell us?
Well, I just wanted to go back to the word local that you were talking about. I thought that was pretty interesting. I'm with you as far as the term is heavily overused. And I was watching a TV documentary on Kevin Keller, who is the chef owner of French Laundry, which has been in
Thomas Keller.
For
Thomas
over a decade,
Keller, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Thomas Keller, thank you. And how he doesn't use that term local. For him, if he says it's fresh and it's local, if it's Maine lobster he has on that menu that night, of course he's in California, if he can have it flown in overnight into his restaurant on the menu that evening, that's local to him. So I thought it was pretty interesting how he, his vision of the word local is that anything he can get within the time frame to have it, you know, sold at his dinner table at the freshest peak quality, then to him that was local, using the word local.
Yeah.
So that's one of the sharing with
And you. I kind of agree with that. I mean, I think that that's okay, and I think that's a term. I think a lot of restaurateurs think that way. Mm. And when I say local, though, I would think of the garden in the backyard.
Or at least the vegetable stand around the corner.
Yeah.
Maybe. Okay.
Well, one trend in this greater trend of local that I really like is restaurants stating on the menu where the food comes from. So I know that Thomas Keller actually gets his buttermilk from Vermont, and he calls out the purveyor on the menu, and he hands out something afterwards. So
I wonder why anyone could do buttermilk. I mean, that's not that rare an item, actually.
Thomas Keller he finds the best. And what I appreciate, I like even more than this local trend is restaurants mentioning on the menu. So I've seen, you know, Web City Bacon and Crumbs Tomatoes, and I think that's a great result of this local trend.
Even Whole Foods does
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so even if it's not local, you know where it's coming from.
That's right.
I think more than anything, people want to know where their food is coming from, that it was produced sustainably and fairly, and I think it's a great result. Even if the word local goes away, if that stays on menus, I think we'll all be better off.
All right. Thank you, Murray. That was a great call. Let's... we are taking your phone calls at 816-235-2888. One of our listeners, Notorious P-A-T, we must know him somewhere.
We know him from Twitter.
Yeah. Tweets us and says, I know it's super trendy, but I'm not a fan of restaurants pushing small plates slash tapas as a meal. That's actually an argument I have, and I'm writing about it recently. You know, that you either love small plates or you hate them.
I love them.
It depends what, you know, for example, I like the small plates for, I like the dim sum at ABC Cafe. I have a love-hate relationship with La Bodega. I think some of their small plates are really, really good. But, you know, here's the deal. When you're a, when you have a hearty appetite like I do, you know, you could have an entree for $20 or you could order, you know, five small plates and then you're in debt for the rest of your life.
But if you go out with other people, I think they're great because if you have a hungry appetite like I do, you get a bunch of small plates and then you don't really, nobody really notices how much you're eating.
Well, that's
what a clever move. I love that.
Yeah, but one of the problems is that our... We're disproportionately used to these enormous plates of food.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what really, is wrong with that, Gloria? I'd like to know.
Let's ask your doctor.
Doughboy.
I like the fact that you can just have a choice in size. Yeah. I really like the fact that you can go into a restaurant and there will be a full portion and a half portion. And I try really hard now to go with the half portions, in part because I want to try maybe a couple things. Mm-hmm. And you're right, though, I do pay more for that. I mean, that
unless you're with a group and it really
It just hit me that I don't mind having a half portion or maybe two half portions of a dinner, but I think if they're going to do that, I should have a double portion of dessert.
That's exactly fair. Which is that's exactly fair.
Let's go to Bonnie in Fairway.
Yes. Okay, I have a new take on local. I grew up in Brookside a long time ago, and there used to be someone called a huckster who came to our house, to the neighborhood, with his truck loaded with produce. And I would like to suggest that some enterprising food truck guy resurrect that because it was wonderful. You know, all this fresh produce brought right to our door.
There are several services out here that still do that, but the problem for me is it's too much. I mean, there's only two of us. I need a family, or I need
to find services that do it too. You get a set amount. So I think with this truck, could you go buy off the truck like the ice cream truck, like a healthy ice cream truck?
Right, exactly.
Oh, so you could buy what you
wanted. As much or as little as you want.
Yeah, that's nice. I agree. I've sadly let produce go to waste from my CSA, and I did Fresh Direct for a while, or door-to-door organics is what it's called.
But so much goes, I love that idea, actually.
And do it on a bicycle. Somebody should ride around on a bicycle with a trailer on the back carrying produce.
I love that.
Instead of the ice cream truck.
Get your fresh veggies here.
Yeah. All right, yeah. You know, someone needs to bring that word huckster back.
I love that.
Allison from Leawood says, one trend that I've noticed is that every restaurant seems to have baby kale on the menu.
Yes.
What happened to spinach? Allison, I want to tell you something. Town topic, you will never find baby kale on that menu.
Kale is huge.
It's better than spinach, I think. And you can grow it all year long.
All right.
Yeah. Doesn't North have a Zucca chips? Are they kale? You know, fried?
No, that's fried. No, it's zucchini.
Zucchini?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh,
they're great.
Yeah. But there are kale chips. Kale chips are a thing now.
I know.
Kale
but they're
chips.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Kale. Yeah, you just.
Mm-hmm. But I love kale. Kale's great. I think it does. It's delicious. The texture's great. It's versatile, and it grows all year long.
It's
and
pretty tough unless you massage it.
It's really good flash fried.
Kale
chips. Right. That's your kale chips right there.
I've never developed a taste for kale, but it's really pretty on a salad bar. Let's go to Chef Kelly Daniels. Chef Kelly Daniels, what do you have to tell us?
Hi, guys.
Hi, Kelly.
I just wanted to comment on the one. I never get the opportunity to listen to your show because I'm always working. I'm actually picking up coffee right now, so I'm in my car listening and thrilled about it. But just wanted to comment on the local commentary that was going on earlier and kind of throughout. To me, as a chef and as a business owner, you know, it's important to provide and you know, use local ingredients, not just because of, you know, maybe the purity and integrity that you find from the local farmer and all of that, but also to support the local economy and keep the money right, you know, close to home. I think that's something that gets overlooked. Like Charles, you mentioned someone who's buying, quote, local celery from Iowa. We're, you know, that's money that we're shipping off to another economy that, right, you know, we can definitely, you know, keep in-house. So
That's a really good point.
Yes. Yeah.
I like that point.
All right. Kelly, anything else?
No, that's it. You guys are great. Thanks so much.
Thank you. And that was Chef Kelly Daniels. And that's a good point is, you know, let's support our local farmers mm-hmm. as much as we can. That's why I love when Room 39 does print all of its purveyors on its menu, mm-hmm. and it's not the only restaurant in town that does that. And I think it's a good thing.
I think we should give Kelly a shout out. She's at the Elms in Excelsior Springs now doing...
Oh, well, good.
Yeah,
the menu's there.
Do you think that artisanal, am I saying that right?
Artisanal.
Yeah. Is that the same as a local kind of, I mean, is it?
Not necessarily. No. I mean, when I think of an artisanal baker, for example, I think of it more in the terms of handmade.
Specialty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You know. Well, what else? What other trends do we see?
Now, I feel like artisanal is a word that is overused.
Do you?
A lot. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you know, let's face it, a quilt can be artisanal.
Wendy's had a billboard that said artisanal fries.
Well, I think Panera does that too. I mean, in some way.
Well, I mean, you know, it's a pretty
flatbread.
Word. Yeah.
Flatbread is a trend.
Yes. I think it means handmade.
Wendy's is not handmaking their french fries.
Yeah. Right.
But you know what? We could all pretend, can't we? You know? I'm ready for the flatbread trend to go away. We have one of our listeners tweeted us, I like the small plates because it leaves more room for beer and Taco Bell at the end of the night.
There you go.
Know, there's always something for someone. Yeah.
That's right. Dinner in a bag. Whatever that is.
Dinner in a bag
like, well... That's not a restaurant thing, but grocery stores have these new packages of food where you can take them home, and they're supposed to, I don't know how they're healthier.
Artisanal grocery store dinner to go.
Yeah. Well, that's for sure. How many grocery stores had bar, you know, like a salad bar?
And a hot food bar.
Or in a hot food bar when you were growing up. None,
at the
zero.
Hot food bar at Brookside Market.
And maybe there was a good reason for that, Gloria.
Quinoa is everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Quinoa.
A lot of restaurants are making or claiming to make their own fancy ketchups.
What's that mean?
Means like, not Heinz.
Like the burger place on Westport Road, Pennsylvania. Beer kitchen. They have like three different kinds of their own.
I think Blanc makes its own
Blanc
ketchup.
Has a dipping. Yeah.
But you know, look, I mean, ketchup is ketchup.
Oh, no. Blue Stem used to include Crumbs tomato mm-hmm. ketchup that Crumbs made on their farm. And I got to tell you, I bought a bottle of it, a jar of it. And it was like $5 or something. I mean, it was really expensive ketchup. It was the best ketchup I've ever had.
Well, you know why? This is just a leap on my part and a guess. I bet it didn't have high fructose corn syrup in it.
Probably not. I hope that's a trend that's going away, but I don't know.
I think it is, and I think that's probably why restaurants are starting to make a lot of their own condiments.
Yeah.
Right.
There's house-made mayos. There's just a lot of... That's definitely something that I've seen, just more house-made condiments.
I don't know that I want to put this in the trend category, but I think it is a trend that more restaurants are a lot more sensitive to people who have allergies gluten issues and lactose issues. And, you know, when we were, you know, all coming of age, that would have been unheard of for restaurants to even give a damn.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting because I think they say 1% of the population is actually gluten intolerant, and another 10% says they are thinks they are, and gluten free is a huge trend in restaurants. I mean, now almost every restaurant can tell you what's gluten free on their menu.
You know, I got one, celebrity chefs.
Oh, I was going to say that.
You know, the Food Network is just like eclipsing everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, well, yeah, we see that enormous in Kansas City, too. There's, I mean, now it's yeah about the chef.
Here's what a trend I would like to see come, where it's celebrity chefs that used to be 1970s sitcom stars. For example, Florence Henderson, the celebrity chef, or things like that.
Yeah.
That's what I'm worried. Charles writes us, not me, Charles, but Charles writes in an email, one benefit of locally sourced food is that the proprietors may be trying to decrease the carbon footprint by not trucking or flying the food across the country.
Which plus, also keeps the cost lower.
Yeah, and it's, and it keeps the money in our local economy. Yeah.
But if the restaurant isn't paying as much for transportation costs for food, that hopefully will come back to the diners and we're not paying as much.
Yeah, but then you know, then they charge us for making their own ketchup. So I don't know.
Perhaps.
Okay, last word. Everyone give us the trend you are ready to see that you have not seen yet. We'll start with you, Emily, because we're coming to the top of the hour.
Oh, that I haven't seen yet?
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Rhubarb cocktails in Kansas City.
Okay.
Oh, Charles, hit me with a stick. I don't know. You have to come back to me.
All right.
I know. Ants on a stick. I don't know.
It'd be easier to say which ones we want to see go away.
Yeah, it's easier. What's one for you? What do you want to see come?
More homemade root beer.
Oh, yeah.
More homemade sodas in general.
Yeah. That's great.
No more Pepsi and Coke. Get it out. If you're serving artisanal cocktails and local food, get the big soda producers out of your restaurant.
Yeah, and do more artisanal sodas. That's what I say.
More family at community tables at restaurants.
Yeah. Charles says no.
Yeah, I say no to that.
You antisocial.
Emphatic no to that. Anyway, we are at the top of the hour. As always, I'd like to thank my fellow food critics, Chris Basica, Emily Ferris, and Gloria Gale, and remind you that you could always find a list of all of the restaurants we mentioned today at kcur.org/Central Standard Friday and archival recordings and podcasts of all of our previous shows. Up to Date is next with the business practices of social entrepreneurs plus 90 Mile View. Our show today was produced by Matthew Long Middleton with help from Ross Steinmetz. I'm Charles Ferruzza. This is Central Standard. Enjoy your food, Kansas City.